Good day, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am Joey Hernandez, and this is an Older Gay Guy show. Today, we have the conclusion of the two-part series about gay porn with Davey Wavy, a well-known gay porn producer and director of Himeros.tv. I hope you had a chance to catch part one, where Davey and I talked about some of our personal likes and dislikes in the gay porn that we consume. Today, we do talk a bit more about all of that, but also what we think the future of gay porn will be, and he tells us all about Himeros.tv and what sets it apart from other gay porn companies. A quick mention before we get into this interview. Coming up next on An Older Gay Guy Show will be the re-edited episode that is my most popular show ever, and that is Jim Showers. I've updated the episode to have some new thoughts, but you know what? I'm pleased when I hear this early episode of the show because I had a much more relaxed conversational tone in how I did it. So what I would ask, please, is if you could let me know what you think about this. Which is better, the way I do it now or the way I did it then? You can send me an answer, reply, comment to anoldergayguyshow@gmail.com. And now, without any further ado, gentlemen and ladies, please welcome back Davey Wavy.
This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.
What about condom versus condomless porn? Because we had completely condomless for a long time, and oops, we got in some trouble for that. And then everybody was using condoms in the 80s, early 90s, maybe all of the 90s. Mm-hmm. Now it's more back to bareback with the notations that things are done on set to protect the performers that the viewers may not be aware of.
Yeah, going back to condomless, it's actually later than that. Like, people were in condoms in gay porn, like, through, like, it was the early 2000s. I mean, it wasn't until PrEP really became more prolific and readily available for people. So I think even, it's like, maybe the last 10 years has been when we've really seen this swing back to bareback. And, you know, we still get pushback about it, that for older gay men who lived through the AIDS epidemic, for them, it's hard to, for some guys, it's hard to watch a porn where the guys aren't using condoms because it's this perceived message that they're not protecting themselves or that it's denying the reality of what happened in this horrible plague. And what I always try to explain is like, look, like condoms is one way of protection. It's not the only way. And the models that we film with are protected well beyond, you know, what a condom could provide. Condoms rip, you know, they're not perfect. PrEP doesn't rip. And testing the models for STDs beforehand is obviously a huge factor as well. So we create, you know, the best, safest environment that we can for our performers, and they're protecting themselves at multiple levels, even though there's not a condom that's being used. It's funny though, because there's this psychological piece of it. Like when I'm watching porn and I see a condom, I'm like, oh, why do they have to do that? And it's like, and it's actually pretty silly because it's like, what's the, how is it any different for me to consume it? Like, who cares if you see like a little piece of rubber or not?
Well, you know, there was a guy I used to train, personal training, and he was telling me that he knows he Was this before PrEP? This might have been just before PrEP. He was telling me that he used to have sex without a condom when he was younger. And then, of course, AIDS came along. And now he will not and cannot watch any porn that does not have a condom. And his reasoning being, because I'll be too tempted to do it that way. Without a condom. Now, again, this was before PrEP.
Right.
Yeah. But I could understand that point of view in that respect.
There's something interesting about gay sex, which is one of the sex and intimacy coaches that we work with on our projects was telling me this. And he said, you know, like when a gay person has sex for the first time, like in their head, it's like, ooh, this is wrong because I'm having sex. But it's like doubly wrong because I'm having gay sex. Like I'm having sex with another guy. And I was told, you know, I should never do this. This is really bad. This is, you're going to burn in hell. And so the transgressive nature of our sex for a lot of gay men gets coded into our erotic blueprint that like part of what turns us on so much about it is that it's wrong, that we're breaking rules. And so as soon as you told us, we needed to wear condoms, you already defeated the whole, like you just completely eroticized bareback sex for gay men. So I think, you know, that's a really strong piece. And that was a big part of it for a lot of people. Like as soon as you told us we needed to wear one, you have a lot of gay men that are going to immediately get off on the fact that they're not.
Yeah. You know, I had talked about this previously. I had always had the mindset that, yeah, there's PrEP, but just like AIDS was, I should say HIV was brewing even in the late 60s, early 70s somewhere, you know, before it hit fully here in the US, they didn't have any way of knowing that was coming along. And I always thought, you know, okay, maybe PrEP takes care of the HIV virus, but there's going to be something else that comes along, partially because that's the way of nature. Nature almost seems to, as we find cures for diseases, it's like nature comes out with some other stuff as a way to reduce the population, which is just like a normal part of nature. And I had always said, well, something else is going to come along. Now we have monkeypox, which is not fatal. It's very disruptive. It can be very uncomfortable. It can be easily transmitted. Have you thought about or addressed the issue of monkeypox in your filming?
We haven't done a shoot since the monkeypox spike has started to happen here in the US, which by the way, like a condom is not going to protect you from monkeypox, you know, by
that's
the
way. True. Absolutely true.
And so, what I am really thinking about monkeypox in relation to is every October we do an in-person retreat at Easton Mountain in upstate New York. And so it's already sold out this year. You know, we have 45 men coming from across the country and a couple from around the world. And knowing that there's this monkeypox outbreak, it's like, well, how do we really keep people safe? And everyone has a different relationship with risk. Fortunately, there's a vaccine. That vaccine is not readily available for everyone just yet. Hopefully by October, you know, it will be. But one of the ways that we're navigating it and trying to meet people where they're at is people are going to get bracelets when they check in. And they have a red, yellow, and green bracelet. And green is like, hey, my relationship with risk is such that like, come up to me, you can touch me, you can hug me, I'm open to connect physically. Yellow is I'm exercising caution, you know, please ask before you, you know, touch me, before you engage with me. And then red is I'm being very cautious and I'm not open to physical touch at this time. And so people can wear whatever bracelet matches where they're at and what their risk level they're comfortable with. So we're trying to meet people where they're at.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish that extended even to the social world of gays, you know.
Right.
It's kind of an updated hanky code, sure, if you
sure,
will.
Sure, totally.
That's a great idea. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, kudos on that.
Yeah, and it doesn't, you know, eliminate the risk. It just kind of lets people decide what risk they're comfortable with.
Sure, yeah. Interesting. Let's talk about fetishes, because I have a thing for feet. I've never been comfortable saying I have a foot fetish. It sounds creepy to me. So I say my foot thing. I have a feet thing. And then I get emails from listeners going, why do you say that? Just say you have a foot fetish. Whatever. The different kinds of fetishes, like feet, like water sports, like CBT, which is cock and ball torture, sounding, other things along those lines. What interests you? What does not interest you? What have you filmed and what haven't you filmed?
Yeah. Okay. So, well, it's a really
difficult... Take 45 minutes there on that one.
Yeah. I'm still figuring out what I'm into. So this shoot that I mentioned where we did this wrestling scene in Wales where I was the referee, it was a 12 video shoot and the theme was weird sex. And so we were really trying to take like a deep dive into some of the more obscure fetishes that people have. And it was really about like exploring your own boundaries, like stepping into the unknown and being open to being like surprised in really delightful and unexpected ways. I have to say, going into it, maybe one or two of the kinks like a little bit appealed to me. And then when we filmed the videos, I have to say every single one of them was hot. Like they really sold me on everything.
Okay.
There was, I mean, like we did a video on lactation. And so it was like the two, you know, this is in the UK. So like two of the guys are having afternoon tea. The waiter comes over and asks them if they want cream in their tea and unbuttons his shirt and they just start sucking on his nipples. And we had it filmed in such a way that it looked like there was just like, you know, cups and cups of milk, just like coming like out of his nipples, like down his chest. And it was hot. And I was like, this is,
wow.
I didn't know this about myself. Well, I kind of knew that one about myself. There was another one and it was about clown fetishes. And so we had this creepy clown kind of going through the manor house, sexy, creepy, but sexy. Lots of muscles, and he's coming out from behind like a secret passageway, and he's got his big dick hanging out and his like clown makeup, and he hooks up with these two twinks, and you know, at one point he's like putting together a balloon animal and one of them's like sucking the balloon, and like it, I was like afterwards like, okay, I guess I kind of think clowns are sexy sometimes. So yeah, I found myself into, I think I've just continued to surprise myself. Usually when we do fetish stuff on Himuro's TV, we try to make it reasonably accessible. So like this week's video is called Piss Off and it's a water sports video. And so we have, one of the water sports moments is like a guy, peeing and his partner is like running his fingers through the stream. Another guy pees in his jeans and you see him kind of piss down the leg of his pants. And then another one, like someone gets their back peed on, but there's not like, no one pulls out a funnel and like starts like drinking it. It's kind of like, more of like an entry level, like accessible kink, which is like an invitation to the audience to be like, hey, maybe this could be fun for you to play with. The stuff we filmed in Wales is not entry level. I mean, that's like fully committing to the bit. Like okay. At that point we were all in. So it's kind of fun to present a spectrum of stuff for folks to play with.
I could be into the entry level stuff there, but you're right. Once a funnel or something like that came out, nope.
Yeah, right.
And the only other thing for me that's an absolute no-no is I have no interest in number two coming out on you or
yeah,
eating or whatever. I don't even want to think about it, but that category.
Sure. And also, for us, like, there's limitations of what we can and can't show that get dictated by the credit card processing companies. And so things that involve like blood or scat, you know, or obviously anyone that's like under 18, like all of those things are, we're like contractually prohibited from showing on the site by virtue of them processing credit cards for us. So yeah, there's just another little dimension that folks probably don't realize.
Well, yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. What's your least favorite kind of porn?
Straight porn.
Oh, you know, some gay guys are really into it because they want to see real straight guys.
Okay, fine. Hot. Lesbian porn.
I'll give you that.
I can find something in everything.
There really isn't much lesbian porn, right? Because they're not the kind of people that will watch that kind of thing, I wouldn't think.
There's oodles and oodles of lesbian porn. It's just made for an audience.
For straight guys?
Men. It's not made for lesbians. I have some friends of mine who have an OnlyFans that are lesbian YouTubers. And I was like, you guys should make like a lesbian version of Him or Roast TV for like actual lesbians. And I was like, what would that look like? And they're like, oh, well, you'd like meet a couple and you'd hear how they met each other and like what it's like when they go on dates and da-da-da-da. And then maybe at the end, you know, they would finger each other. And I was like, oh God, this just sounds so boring. but there's a lot of context involved about their relationship. And I was like, man, we really are kind of different animals.
I know a lot of straight women or straight girls that are into watching gay porn.
Yes.
Guy gay porn, though.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of lesbians that like to watch gay male porn. And the feedback that I've gotten is because, like, in kind of straight porn, like, if there's a woman involved in it, like, she's usually going to be degraded or treated like shit. And it's just an ick factor that's, like, too much to masturbate while watch. So for like some lesbians watching two gay guys have sex, it doesn't have the ick factor of like the power dynamics of a woman being involved, and you just get to see carnal sex. So that's how it had it explained to me.
Tell me about your current YouTube channel, which is Wicked Cool, spelled in a way I can't even imagine that people can find it.
Yeah, just search Davey Wavy. Yeah, you're not going to find it.
And what's going on with your YouTube channel? What are you using it for these days?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is just to create publicity for what we're doing on Him or Roast TV. The stuff that I create on Him or Roast TV is the stuff that my fucking heart, soul, passion, everything is into. And YouTube is our most successful marketing funnel. So it's what can we take from Him or Roast TV and share with our audience that hopefully kind of piques their curiosity. So it's a lot of model interviews. It's some kind of like sillier videos where like the What's Up My Butt challenge. And it's just an opportunity for people to kind of see what it is that we're doing on Him or Roast in a way that's like PG-13 YouTube appropriate.
Right. So you've got the Wicked Cool YouTube channel. You also have a Him or Roast TV YouTube channel, as well as Him or Roast TV. Please tell us all about Him or Roast.
Yeah. So I launched Him or Roast TV 5 years ago as my erotic website. And the goal is to create videos that enhance the experience of sex and sexuality for the audience, to increase pleasure, connection, sexual exploration. It's kind of like porn that's good for you, you know? I think a lot of porn that we consume, conditions us in certain ways. I mean, for, you know, example, we think that every sexual experience needs to end in a cum shot. Or that when you do come, it means that it's over. You know, you can obviously have sex after someone comes, or you can not come at all and still have a wonderful time. And so we get conditioned, I think, by watching the same thing over and over again. And by the way, like, especially for an older audience, like, the bodies that we see in mainstream porn over and over and over again are like ultra hung, chiseled 20-year-olds. And if that's all you see, it sends a message at a certain point that, like, that's the only body that's worthy of love, of touch, of pleasure, of attention, of desire. And I think that pleasure is our birthright, that all people deserve touch and connection and love and desire. So when we film stuff for Him or Rose TV, it's really widening that spectrum of sexiness, showing guys that are older, showing guys that are rounder, showing guys that are hairier. And yes, showing Cade Maddox and Blake Mitchell and all the other porn stars that, like, people know and love, but to present a wider spectrum of sexiness. Because sometimes, you know, when we create videos that are maybe like a little bit less mainstream, you get surprised by the things that excite you. It's hard to be turned on by the things that you never see or the bodies that you never see. And so that's why representation in porn really does make a difference. And when we film, you know, we're working with sex coaches and tantric instructors and intimacy coaches. So the level of authenticity and vulnerability and intimacy, it's all unlike anything that you're going to see in more of those mainstream porn sites. So that's kind of the sales pitch. And it's not for everyone, but for people that are kind of sick and tired of scrolling through Pornhub and seeing the same old shit, I think Him or Rose TV is a great addition to your porn journey.
When you had me on your show a couple of years ago, it was because you were doing a particular video that week where you had an older man along with a group of younger guys dissipating. And I thought that was so great for us older gay guys that are 50 plus that are just never seen in porn anywhere. And it's great that you were able to not only show that, but have that person playing off of younger people as well.
Yeah. Well, it's there's something bizarre to me about the fact that we've decided that 20-year-olds are going to embody like gay sexuality. Like, this is who we're going to put on a pedestal, and like, this is who we're going to jerk off to and fuck. Like, you know, they like barely know what to do with their dicks. Like, when you're 20 years old. And I can say that as someone who was 20 years old at one point. And the reality is, like most things in life, is that you learn through experience. And you learn by having different partners and growing and evolving as a human being. And so it's like, yeah, we're filming a lot of 20-year-olds like bumping their bodies together. And this is not doing justice to the full experience of sex as I know it or as I understand it to be. We filmed a video not too long ago with a guy in his 50s and his partner. And the video is about how to be multi-orgasmic. Like, he teaches a technique where you can keep, when you approach orgasm, you can actually contract a certain muscle to keep your cum inside. So you have an orgasm, but you don't ejaculate. And so then you can do another orgasm and another orgasm. And he has like 5 orgasms with his partner by exercising cum control. And it's like, show me a 20-year-old that's doing this shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was really eye-opening, even for someone like myself, who's like, you know, constantly immersed in the world of sex. So it's not interesting for me to just film videos of like 18, 19, 20-year-olds. It's much more interesting to be able to really play with this broader spectrum of sexiness.
And the largest growing segment of the gay community are guys that are 50 plus. So in order, you know, if you can bring them into your work as well as a representation, I think that you're going to do really well with that.
Totally.
Because it already separates you from what the average porn company produces. And I think expanding that as you go along is I think you're going to find very, works very well for your company.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you.
Yeah. What's the biggest behind the scenes secret that us as the viewing audience doesn't necessarily know about? Like, certainly mentioning a little bit when we were talking about condoms and prep and all, I think probably a lot of us don't realize that when there is no condom, that there is something else going on to protect. Is there any other like behind the scenes stuff that might surprise us?
Yeah, it's boners. This is another thing that really grinds my gears, because, you know, every porn that you ever watch is going to have people with rock hard dicks. And that creates an expectation in the people that are consuming porn that, like, oh, my dick needs to behave like that at all times. I always need to be hard. Boners on a porn set are, I mean, it's such a logistical challenge, and the amount of stress and anxiety that it costs, like, both crew and models is extraordinary. And we always tell people, look, if you're not hard, that's awesome. Like, that's part of life. Like, we want to capture that on camera because it gives other people permission to also not always be fucking hard, to be a little kinder towards their dicks and not have to be pumping your body full of, you know, pharmaceuticals. And most of the models are like, yeah, I get that, but I don't want to be the model with the soft dick that, you know, gets, you know, torn down on Twitter for not being able to get hard. Like, no one wants to be the no one wants to champion the cause of the soft penises. And so as a result, like, not only do models often take Viagra or Cialis or pharmaceuticals, there's an injection called Trimex that you can literally, like, use a needle to inject into your penis that's going to give you a boner for 4 hours. And a lot of models do that when they know that they're going to be filming. And we really initially tried to discourage it. And what happens is, like, if a model is in their head about getting hard, they're not going to be able to focus on whatever the scene requires. And so we kind of just at a certain point threw our hands up and told models, like, do whatever it is that's going to make you feel comfortable and what's going to allow you to be present on set with us. But it's not without risk. We had a shoot where a guy used Trimex who hadn't used it before, and he had a stainless steel cock ring on, and he injected Trimex into his dick, and he couldn't get his dick to go down. And so we had to take him to the hospital.
He couldn't get the cock ring off.
Yep. And it was a night.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was the doctor's first night shift. And she had to have her engineer husband come with his toolkit to the hospital. This was like out in the, I was like, I think we were out somewhere in Arizona. And yeah. And so that was the whole thing. So, you know, it's just, I get that people want to see hard dicks, and when they don't, the general feedback that we get is, oh, he wasn't into the scene. He wasn't into his scene partner. And it's like, that's not how it works. You know, like, I have been with some of the most beautiful men in the world, and there's been moments where I'm not hard, and it's not because I'm not attracted to them. It could be because I'm nervous or I'm anxious, or in fact, because I am so attracted to them, that my dick doesn't get hard. So it's just that whole piece to me is just like, we need to do better. We really do. We need to have better expectations for ourselves, for the porn that we consume. We just need to be fucking kinder to our dicks.
You mentioned that part of what you like to show on Himeros is that you don't necessarily always have to come in order to enjoy sex. And I would think that that would extend also to, there are going to be times when you are not hard, but it doesn't mean that you can't enjoy what is going on, right. You know?
Right. Yeah. I think mainstream porn would like us to believe that sex follows the formula of, you kiss someone, you blow someone, you eat their ass, you fuck them, and then you come. And that's like a very specific formula and flavor of sex, and it's fine. But good Lord, sex is so much more than that. Like, it's such a reductive perspective. So, so we enjoy showing a little bit beyond maybe what people are accustomed to seeing in mainstream content.
That's great. I mean, those are the kind of things that separate Himroast.tv from all these other sites. And I have great, great respect for you doing this. Tell me about other gay YouTubers or gay porn stars that not necessarily have appeared in your films, but maybe people that you've done collabs with or promos with. Just this morning, I was looking back at some of your stuff on your Wicked Cool site, and you had something with Max Emerson. I love Max Emerson. He makes my heart beat. Tell me about working with collab people like that.
Yeah. I mean, for me, part of it is just like, I've been doing these videos for 15 or 16 years. I've said a lot of the things that I want to say, right? And so now what's more interesting is bringing other people on, like hearing their perspective, chatting with them. It's just a little bit more, for me, it's a little bit more fun and interesting. And now that I'm more in the world of porn, it's less collabs with other YouTubers. I'm not really in that world anymore. And it's a lot more collaborating with porn stars. And especially porn stars that were filming on Himroast TV. And so, you know, to that end, I also find porn stars to be some of the most like carefree, interesting, obviously attractive, but kind and sweet human beings. And they're like carrying the collective shadow of so many gay men. And so it's really fun for me to kind of share the folks that are in my orbit with the people who watch my YouTube videos.
Do you have specific future plans for Himroast outside of maybe the things that we've already talked about?
One big project that we have coming up in October is we're doing an OnlyFans creator camp. So we're inviting 8 OnlyFans models to a retreat center that we rented in New Mexico. And I think like what Himroast as a brand brings to the table is a deep level of authenticity and also a high level of production value. So we're bringing these creators on board to show them the strategies, the tips, the techniques that our tantric instructors and sex coaches use to facilitate the intimacy that we're filming. So if you are going to Miami for a weekend and you're going to film 8 collaborations with people that you've never met, like how can you do that with intention and connection and vulnerability? And we're doing the whole shoot. Usually we use this really beautiful camera. It's the same camera they use for like Game of Thrones, the House of the Dragon. It requires a full crew. Like it's not something that's particularly scalable for the average OnlyFans creator, right? It's like $100,000 setup. So this project that we're doing, the OnlyFans Creator Camp, all the videos that we film, we're going to film with iPhones, but we're just going to like trick them the hell out. So it's going to be like iPhones, but with lenses attached. We'll use robots. We'll use head mounts. We'll use all sorts of dollies. So we're going to push the iPhone technology like as far as we can. That way for the models, it's like, oh, you know, I can actually do aspects of this in the content that I create. And so maybe there'll be fewer of those videos where it's just 2 guys fucking in a hotel room with a, you know, tripod set up, that there can be different ways to tell your story using the camera as an instrument.
As you talk about the equipment like that camera, as you talk about the places that you've gone filming around Europe and the world, do you ever just sit down on a quiet moment to yourself and just think about how big the world is that you have created? I mean, it must be amazing to know that you can travel, and I assume they're all business expenses to travel to these different locations and get these cameras. It must be a great sense of pride, but there's also got to be a certain amount of awe that you feel.
Yeah, that kind of did happen on the last shoot in the UK, because I was out on my morning run, and as I came around the corner and saw the manor house that we rented, you know, it's 25 bedroom, like massive historic building, I was like, it's pretty fucking cool that like that like, yeah. like what? like this is pretty trippy. And that it all happened because, you know, I decided to make a YouTube channel 16 years ago and people ended up watching it, right? Like, yeah, there's so much kind of like, obviously there's pieces of it that are within my control, like to have a business sense, to be a producer, all that stuff, but also like a certain element of luck. And like, yeah, I'm just really fucking grateful for that.
You said you're 39 currently. 21 years from now, when you're 60, what do you think is going to be going on in your life?
You know, I it's hard to say. I mean, I hope that I have like the grace and foresight to know that like when this stops being fun to be like, okay, like maybe it's time for me to sell the company. Maybe it's time for me to do something different. I don't want to keep doing it if it's no longer fun or interesting for me. And, you know, I thought about maybe retiring like sooner rather than later. And my friends who are retired are like, are you fucking kidding me? Like you have the best job in the world and you fucking love doing it. So like, don't rush that, like enjoy it. When it stops being fun, let me know, you know, like that.
Yeah.
So,
cause when you retire, I will ask my husband at least twice a week, what day is it? Because every day is like the other, the next day and the day before that. So yeah, hang in there certainly for a while. I would think one of the things that will be coming up in porn, I'll bet within the next 10 years, and that this may spark new things for you, is I imagine the next big thing is going to be to have holograms, to actually have, you can walk around 360 and look at everything going on in the center of your living room from different angles.
Well, porn is always pioneering technology. And so like, rest assured that when the hologram technology becomes widely available, it will be porn who's championing it. And it's always like, whatever Pornhub tests, like today you'll see on YouTube in like 2 years, whether it's like animated thumbnails or like scrolling along the timeline and video previews, like all that stuff was in porn first. So I have no reason to doubt that the porn's not going to, you know, keep championing technology. So we'll see. We'll see what comes down the pike and whether it's fun or interesting for me to create.
There is better and better, seems every year, better and better animated porn, gay porn, that, you know, some of it's cartoonish, like we grew up with, but also it's become so realistic in, you know, gaming kind of programs that they can make it be everything you've ever dreamed that you would want it to be, animated. It's fascinating. I'm as turned on by watching some of the animated that I am watching live people.
Yeah. And afterwards, because you can do things obviously with the animation that you can never do in real life to really step into the world of fantasy. And then afterwards you're like, you know, you just watch someone get like fucked by like 10 tentacle penises, like on some giant cock octopus, like, and you're like, what the fuck did I just see? But yeah.
Davey, can you give the listeners a list of your social media or how to see your work and how to contact you?
Yeah. If you want to find my YouTube channel, just search Davey Wavy. It's DaveyWavey. And of course, what I'd love is for people to check out Himeros.tv. And for listeners, if they go to Himeros.tv/dick, D-I-C-K, you can get 9 months of Himeros TV for just $9.99 per month. So it's not a huge investment to get 20,000 minutes of exclusive content. So if you're curious, check it out, Himeros.tv/dick.
Okay. Well, Davey, thank you so much for contacting me again. Thank you so much for being so patient with my COVID. And I'd love to talk to you in another year or so and see what's going on.
Totally. Yeah, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you. And I'll put links to all of the stuff that Davey's talked about down in the show notes. And I will let you go. Thank you so much, Davey.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay. Take care. Bye now. My gratitude to Davey. And please look for the links that we discussed down below in the show notes. Meanwhile, do you want to see me win my big award? If I win, of course you do. The People's Choice Podcast Awards are on Friday, September 30th, which is International Podcast Day, and they will be at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern United States time. And there's two ways to watch. You can go to podcastawards.com or you can watch on YouTube. I'll post a short podcast that gives the details, and I'll be able to put the link to the YouTube channel once it is sent to me in a few days. It would be great to have you watch if you could join. Meanwhile, I will be back next weekend with the re-airing of Jim Showers, my most popular episode ever. This is Joey Hernandez wishing you all the joys of autumn. Bye for now, guys.